Galesburg's Morning News.
Galesburg's Morning News, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Tyler Bachman, Tom Lowy, columnist with the Galesburg Register-Mail, our special guest co-host this morning. And our guest joining us this hour, school getting ready to get underway, well, around the state of Illinois for those that don't do the year-round within the next week or so, including Galesburg District 205. And joining us is 205 Superintendent Ralph Grimm. Good morning, Mr. Grimm. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in with us this morning. You know, first things first, one of the things with a new school year, got to remind people, driving especially, you get to those school zones, and even not in the school zones, a lot of kids walking, riding their bikes to school. Be careful, look out for them. You just drive safely and obey the laws, especially in those school zones.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. That's something that I wanted to make sure that we talk about briefly. You know, the landscape changes in a week. We'll have the majority of our students out on the street walking to school. Many will be bused, but whether they're walking or riding a bike, you know, I just want to encourage people to please be careful around the schools, around town. Please don't text and drive. Be alert. Be aware. We don't want any of our children hurt in any type of accident. So just it's a good reminder, and we'll try and keep doing that through our social media because school starts in a week.
Right, of course, you want to encourage your kids to be safe as well. Use the crosswalks and, you know, be on your bicycle. Don't just go darting out into traffic, this and that. But those things happen sometimes, which is why as a driver you have to be really aware of what's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. The city and the district have a great partnership to provide crossing guards, and we want to remind people to use those and cross where the crossing guards are. And for drivers to be mindful of the crossing guards and follow their directions, and hopefully we'll get through without any incident.
Well, one crisis averted, but it's not over. I mean, the funding, it happened. You got through that portion, but it doesn't mean everything's resolved coming in with the deficit budget. And, you know, more than likely you're going to have the same situation going into next year, that it's going to be, you know, 11th hour deal to get things done. Kind of where do things stand at this point as far as this school year and with the budget? Are things going to have to be cut during the year, or are you going in, okay, we know what we're going to do this particular school year?
Well, it's a great question, Tom. There's a lot of unknowns as we go forward. But one thing that, if history repeats itself, we'll know for sure is we do have a full year funding appropriation for general state aid. And last year we had a full year funding appropriation, and we received all the general state aid that we were supposed to receive. And I expect that to happen again this year. In terms of our FY17 district budget, it is a deficit budget. It's a deficit budget of about $1.86 million in the operating funds, our education fund, transportation, and operations and maintenance. Roughly 4.5 or 4.6, I think, deficit overall, but that's a little bit misleading because a little over $3 million of that is for health, life, safety work that is either in progress and soon to be finished, or a few minor things that we'll do throughout the year. Now, what makes that misleading is we've already received the funds to pay for those projects. They were recorded as revenue in a previous fiscal year, but they're being recorded as expenditures in this year. So it makes the balance sheet, if you will, a little bit out of whack. So what we focus more on is the operating funds deficit. And, of course, we made great progress on that from FY16 to FY17. We made a lot of cuts. You know, people want to throw around numbers like $3.2 million, $2.6 million. At the end of the day, I don't have an exact dollar amount of those cuts. It's something that we want to go back and recalculate. We did make a substantial amount of cuts, and it did help the deficit situation, but we still have a deficit. Now, part of the reason for that is across the district, our salary increases for all district employees are about $1,050,000. It may be slightly higher than that, but I'm pretty close to being in the ballpark. And that is a little bit concerning. That's a significant amount of money when you're deficit spending. I've had conversations with the board about what we're going to do to address that particular part of the equation. We have seen some increases in our transportation expenses. We've seen some increases in some other areas in terms of taxes and some insurances and some things like that. Normal cost of business increases, but it all adds up when you're laser focused on a deficit. On the revenue side, I don't think we've grown any revenue. In fact, I think we've lost a little bit. And again, I need to go back and look at that. Mrs. Hamm, our finance director, has been really leading the budget process for us. So I think it's a combination of things, and I think that's why we see a budget. I know some folks think, well, you made $2.6 million worth of cuts, and you got extra money in GSA and all this, that, and the other thing, and that there shouldn't be a deficit. It should be a surplus. But it just doesn't work out that way. In an entity as big as District 205, there's so many things that factor into that really aren't obvious. And so we're going to take a look at those. We did discuss this at the board meeting Monday night, and you know, I suggested to the board that they're going to have to continue to pay attention to this, and they're very much aware of that. We talked about the need to look at additional budget cuts. Do we want to go through a similar process to that which we did last year? I talked about the need to possibly look at addressing the problem on the revenue side, which would mean a property tax increase. Well, nobody wants to do that. That's probably the last thing anybody wants to do. And then we talked about looking at things from the operational side. What do we do with our buildings? Do we need all the buildings that we have? And then the only other option that we have, and it's really not a good option for us at this point, is to look at borrowing. Do we borrow money, sell bonds, if you will, for operational expenses? And I told the board, that's not a good way to run a business, particularly a business like ours. Or, of course, there's some combination of all of those that we could take a look at. So as we go forward, our focus is getting the school year started, getting back into the routine, and then we will quickly look at where do we go from here. And we'll have more conversations with the board to determine exactly where we are.
Well, you had mentioned the funding part of it. It's like, yeah, they came through with this budget, but people need to realize it's gone on for several years that you've gotten nowhere near 100% of the funding that you were supposed to get from the state of Illinois. So, you know, still way behind, even though you might have gotten something for this fiscal year, still way behind.
Well, when the budget was passed, it was said that we would be fully funded at the current foundation level. When you dig into the numbers and when you really look at how all of that transpired, it is technically correct to say that we were fully funded at the $6,119 foundation level. But when you look at the numbers behind the numbers, we could have done better if they had looked at a couple of different things, in my opinion. And I've had this conversation with Representative Hammond, and she understands where I'm coming from. But to your point, we can't lose sight of the fact that during proration, which there is no proration for FY17, so for the previous six fiscal years, the proration, in other words, the state not paying 100% of the general state aid that was owed to school districts, cost District 205 $8.6 million. If you put that $8.6 million in our bank account, we're having a whole different conversation today.
Right. Right, absolutely. Talking with Galesburg District 205 Superintendent Ralph Grimm, I guess not necessarily a doomsday scenario, but you know, if cuts have to be made, I know some districts are talking about, you know, particularly with infrastructure, is that something in the future that would have to be looked at? Not infrastructure, but maybe moving out, closing down one of the buildings and combining, is that something that would have to be talked about in the future?
Well, if you remember, in January, I presented the board a district revitalization plan, and we are moving forward with that plan and the components of that plan. We have addressed the deficit budget. We didn't eliminate it, but we didn't intend to eliminate it. And we knew it wasn't going to be possible because in order to eliminate that entire deficit budget, taking into account the upcoming new salaries for the next couple of years, we would have had to make far more cuts than we made. And our district and our community wasn't ready for that. We're making progress on some curricular issues. One of the components of the revitalization plan was to conduct a comprehensive building study to determine, are there more efficient uses for our building, and can we deliver better educational services with a different configuration of our buildings? We've completed about 90% of that study. Our architect has done what all architects can do, and they can plug numbers in and projections and figure out how many classrooms we need and how many students we can put in each classroom and look at our buildings and say, you know, if you did this, you could do this. If you did this, you could do this. And so we have a lot of different options. And so because this was such a topic of interest at the board meeting Monday night, I will more than likely be bringing this to the board in the next month or two once we finalize what we think our recommendations should be. Now, my caution to the board and to everyone is if we bring forward a plan, it probably means that we're going to operate with fewer buildings. All right. So what does that mean across the board? It means possibly not having five elementary schools, not having neighborhood schools. And that's a huge shift in thinking for some people. And we know that. We recognize that. People buy homes because of the elementary school their children will attend. We understand that. We're looking at, do we need two middle schools? And can we get by with one? Don't know the answer to that quite yet. The high school, we think, is pretty well set. So we have asked our architect to really think outside the box, come up with as many options as he thinks is feasible. But at the end of the day, before any type of plan like this could be implemented, there's a lot of conversation that has to take place. There will be conversations with the board, conversations with the community. And before we would see any of the efficiency that we want to see from this type of plan, we're probably at least 3 years out. Because it could involve adding to some buildings to give us the proper classroom size, the number of classrooms. It could be reconfiguring some things. You know, we just don't know all the details, but right now a lot of things are on the table, and we're going to look at just about everything to achieve that long-term efficiency that we need, because, again, when we looked at our numbers, we saw that our enrollment decline has been going on for 10-plus years, and I ask the question all the time, what is there out there that suggests this is going to change? And we just don't see very much. So our enrollment, we hope, will hold steady and stop the decline, but at some point we have to decide, do we need all this space that we currently have? And so we want to operate efficiently, but more importantly, we want to be able to offer the best educational system we can. And that includes looking at groupings of students, grouping of teachers, and a variety of other things. So yes, long answer, short question, I apologize.
Sorry.
But there's a lot to this, yeah. And it's complicated in a sense, and we want to get it right, because believe me, I know we only have one opportunity to get it right.
Yeah, the state is losing good teachers and good possibly good teachers, those that are going, like, say, coming out of ISU or Western Illinois, because of things going on in the state of Illinois, the effect on education is like, why do I want to put myself in this situation, the whole pension situation, this and that. I'm going to go teach in another state where they're better off. Have you seen that here, or with the early retirement and not being able to get good staff you need?
Well, it is a problem, and you're right, Tom. It's a problem across the board. Districts everywhere are finding there are fewer candidates to attract. There are fewer good candidates who are available, and the universities are finding a hard time staffing their programs, their teacher prep programs. And so it's a pretty significant issue already, and I think it's going to get worse, frankly. We have a week before school starts, 6 days before students attend, 5 days before Teacher Institute, three or four positions that we're scrambling to fill. And it's been a mad dash the last 2 weeks as positions become open and some of our staff leave for a variety of reasons, and we try and attract candidates, and yet try and find good candidates. One of the things that I've learned in 30 plus years of doing this, I will not just put a body in a classroom. We are fortunate that we've had some staff members who have stepped up and said, we'll teach an overload, because those folks are far superior to some of the candidates that we've had to choose from. So I'm thankful that our staff is willing to do that. We have a mechanism to do that. But this is an issue for the reasons that you said, pension. The process to get a degree has been made much more difficult. The testing program that teacher candidates have to go through has become much more difficult. The budget situations for school districts around the state, it's just a hard decision to make to want to teach here in Illinois. And I believe that we're hit a little bit harder here, because if someone here in this general part of the state wants to escape all this, they probably only have to drive about an hour. And they can be in Missouri, they can be in Southeast Iowa,
yeah.
And escape some of this. I mean, we have a situation where a beginning teacher now works until they're 67. They pay into a pension system that will provide them less than what they pay in general terms. And if they leave the profession in their first 10 years, they forfeit whatever money has been paid into that pension system.
Wow.
Now, you know, there's some pretty significant flaws in that thinking, and the teacher, the kids who would normally be, you know, at 56, I can call them kids now, right. the kids who want to enter the profession, they know that. And so when they, if they really have their heart set on being a teacher, they're looking elsewhere, not here in Illinois.
844 Galesburg's Morning News, talking with Galesburg District 205 Superintendent Ralph Grimm. Start of the school year for District 205 coming up next week. Teachers and students will report, and not everything is negative, even though for the state it is, but some great things going on at District 205. Oh, first thing I have to ask about, there was this big pile of dirt next to the new football field.
The pile of dirt. Yeah. Tom Meredith, the pile of dirt.
Well, I know part of it, as you tore down the old silos, some of that, I assume, was used to fill that in, but they're still trucking that out. It's almost gone. Where's the rest of that going? To Tom Lowy's yard?
Well, if Tom wants some of it, we could probably dump a few truckloads. That was some great foresight on the part of the folks who designed Silas. The majority of that, I think all of it to date has gone to Silas, and I believe the rest of it will be added to that site as well. So that's a positive. Nobody's going to have to look at that pile of dirt when they're at a home football game.
and also, speaking of Silas, of course, they got into the new building after spring break last year, but this will be the first full year moving into the new building. Looks going by there, the playground, it looks like things are really, really close to being completed. Is the plan? It will be done by the time school starts?
Well, that was our plan all along. That was one of the first meetings I had after the board hired me in early in 2015. And we said from the very beginning, everything has to be done by the first day of school in the 16-17 school year. We're going to be really close on the playground side. There's been a tremendous amount of work done. We have some volunteers coming in, I think, either tonight or tomorrow night from Bethel Baptist, who are going to help us spread out our chips for the playground. Our maintenance staff and our custodial staff worked late last night to try and move those, you know, huge bags of chips. So we think Silas is going to be ready to go. We're going to begin the demo on the Technology Learning Center either this morning or this afternoon, and we're hopeful that that'll be down yet this week, and that all of that will be trucked away, and then we just have a little bit of work to do to prepare the ground. When that block gets done, I truly believe it's going to be the poster shot for Galesburg, if you will. It's coming around very nicely. It's just going to be a beautiful facility. I was in that building last night. It looks as good today as it did the day we opened it up for the public to come through. I'm very, very proud of our custodial staff. That's a wonderful addition to the community. I think our children are going to have a wonderful experience there, as they will in all of our buildings. And that really is the good news. And, you know, in spite of all the things that we've talked about, the challenges that are out there, at the end of the day, what it comes down to are the teachers in the classroom. And, you know, we have a wonderful staff. We have wonderful teachers. They care about our kids. They care about our families. And that's what we're going to focus on when we talk to our staff Monday morning at Teacher Institute. We're going to ask them to continue to do that in spite of all the challenges. Our parents send us their best every day. And what they expect from us is our best. And that's what we're going to challenge our staff to do. Give the kids the best you have. Let me worry about all this other stuff. That's what the board pays me to do. And we'll get through it, just like we have for 30 years, and 30 years before that. There's been challenges in public education. I think it's still the best bargain for the buck. It's the greatest institution out there. We're shaping the next generation, and we take that very seriously. And we have a great staff, and they're going to do their best to move our kids forward every day this year.
You know, physically on the west side, of course, the technology center, that one's getting ready. It looks like there's some asbestos removal and things going on there, so it won't be too long before that comes down. And as you have alluded to prior, that eventually you're going to have some more parking and green space in that area.
That's the plan right now. That's a little bit fluid depending on funds available to pay for that work. But for now, we're going to grade it and we'll seed it. And, you know, we'd like to put a small park in there and some additional parking if we can. But we have to have the funds available to do that.
Is there anything particular this upcoming school year, anything in particular you're looking forward to, aside from all the, you know, all the other state issues that you have to worry about?
You know, we do have a little issue in Thiel Gym. We haven't talked about that.
Yes, that's a very small issue.
So if I can, let me just quickly update where we are on that.
Yeah.
You know, we had some water damage. Nobody's fault. We had a strong storm come through on a Sunday evening. It drove the rain in from the right direction. It came down a wall. got underneath the floor and it damaged the floor. Those things happen. That's why we buy insurance. So we have been in the process of having the insurance companies in and figuring out exactly, you know, what we can do, what we have to do. Well, we have to replace the floor. 40% of it's unusable. So we will be meeting today with some community stakeholders to talk about, you know, what do you want to see on the floor and in the gym, because this is really the time to, you know, to make some changes. But we will be working through that process. And we've had lots of conversations about, you know, the history of that gym and the traditions that have been in that gym. And we want to honor those when we come back with a new gym floor and so on and so forth. One thing that I'm going to stress when I meet with our stakeholder group today is, you know, the gym doesn't belong to any current coach or, you know, last year's coach or next year's coach. The gym belongs to the community, and the traditions and the values that have been generated and formed over the years by the participants who have been in that gym, by the coaches who have been in there, by the students who have been in there, and certainly by the student athletes who have been in there. So we're going to focus on that. But here's the real headline. We do have to replace the bleachers. They are not ADA compliant, Americans with Disability Act. And so we're going to provide safety for our patrons who come in to watch the games and put that gym up to code. The bad news is we may lose a few seats. We're still trying to determine what that looks like, and we will have some people who are displaced, and we're going to work with them and try and get them the next best seat in the house, if you will. The time frame, probably most important, everybody wants to know, will we be ready when basketball starts? What we're told is from the time we place the order for the bleachers, it will take 15 weeks to be able to use them. Now, we're hoping to shorten that time frame a little bit. And once we know exactly what we're going to do, and we're going to determine that in the next 4 or 5 days, we'll place the order, and then we're going to push like heck on the producers and the installers and the contractors to get those bleachers in so that our early basketball tournaments can go on time and on schedule and in that gym. We will not be playing girls volleyball in field. We're going to move that to the field house, and we're doing everything we can to give Coach Clay and the volleyball team the best home court advantage we can in that facility, and I think we're going to be able to come pretty close. So we're excited about that, and I commend Coach Clay for her willingness to help us with that and being the professional that she is and saying, well, okay, if that's what we have to do, that's what we'll do. And, you know, we're excited about our fall sports kicking off. Football practice has started. I think we have around 110 boys out on the football team. I haven't heard numbers from some of the other things, but you know, it's that time that you get that feeling in your gut, you know, school's mm-hmm. supposed to start, and the activity in town will pick up, and you know, we're going to do all we can to make people proud of what we do in 205, and we're looking forward to it. I would just remind people again, if I can, to be very careful when you're driving around our schools. Be careful yep. when you see kids out and about, and we're going to remind our kids to be careful. We want to have a great start, we want to have a great year, and we want to be accident-free.
Ralph, thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it. Best of luck with this year. I know we'll talk to you again soon, but best of luck over the next couple weeks getting things going.
It's always great. Appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for what you do to support us in public education.
Galesburg's Morning News with Tom Meredith and Jim Lee.